Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakening with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hello, everyone. Woo! Welcome to the show. Welcome to Awakening. Hopefully I'll be able to see the chat room in a few minutes or seconds. Thank you so much, Sadie, for getting logged in to the chat room. Those of you that don't know me, hello, I'm Michelle Mache. I'm your host. Looking forward to seeing my co-pilots in the chat room. Until then, I just have to... Your visual memory is inside me always. Anyway, those of you that know me, you know I love to multitask. But, however, not in the way that I had to today, let me just say. Trying to log in took me half an hour to get on. I've had my internet optimized. My computers went into repair to see if something was going on with them. Nothing. So we still don't know what's going on with my internet. Very, very challenging, disconcerting, awakening. As I sit here trying to get the chat on and talking to the woman on the multitasking, making my decaf Americano, talking to the lady, the tech person at Time Warner, and making my Americano, like I said, checking that, booting, rebooting, checking the utilities, and just saying to the lady, you know, I have to be on air in like 2 minutes, you know. She was very patient too. And then I sat there, and as I sat there, I thought, whoa, you're really being prepared for something huge. Because you just don't lose it and you keep a smile and you just go, what am I learning here? What's happening here? You know when that happens, everyone, you're about to get rebooted and booted to a new level. Or use an expansion that takes place. So hopefully I'll be able to see you guys in the chat and say hello. I know you're there. Keep showing that it's connecting. But until then... big hugs to all of you, and oh, it's coming through. Yay, Siren Dreams. Thank you. I see you, Denise, Laura, guests. Welcome. I do like seeing the people in my chat. I like seeing people in the phone lines, too. I see you guys as well. Makes me happy. And, of course, we will be getting to callers. That number is 347-539-5122. Press 1 on the key. Ah, Denise, good morning. Get up. I think it's real early morning in Australia. So put that in the chat, 347-539-5122 is the number to get on air and just chat, say hello. I just want to put that in the chat and just put my purple. I love writing in purple. Texting in purple. One of my favorite colors. Especially for writing and that kind of stuff. Yeah. Okay, so I do see callers on the air. We have a great guest on, you know, and it kind of dovetails what I've been doing in our Soul Path workshops, the LA Soul Path workshop and also the teleworkshop. Which is, I think, is the 21st of this month. I'm not quite sure. But working with archetypes. So today we're going to have, at the second half of the program, our author Carl Greer will be with us. And we're going to be talking about change your story, change your life, using shamanic and Jungian tools to achieve personal transformation. Woo! Right up my alley. So into that kind of stuff. Because we are, you know, everything is archetypal energy. Yay! And the chat is up. The hair, the chinny, chin, chin, right? Chat is up. I can see everybody. I can see callers. My switchboard is up. Yay! I got to tell you, thank goodness for my little, you know, I do have, like, I have, like, I guess, I don't know, 3 or 4 computers, laptops, a lot of electronica. And as you know, I like electronica dance music, EDM. And then I bought my little iPad, which a couple people say, oh, why do you need that? Blah, 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 blah. But I use it for writing. It's a business expense. And I've got to tell you, I've been using that little sucker like crazy. And even to log in, get the show going. So sometimes you get nudged. There's a reason for things, right? There's a reason. And there's a reason that we all connect together. It's because of resonance and because we are consciously on a path and we like living more fulfilled, healing, and also assisting others, right? Makes sense. And I do want to give a little appreciation. Hello to everyone that has been leaving the wonderful appreciation comments on iTunes. Thank you so much. And also Instagram and Facebook, quite a bit of a community there. And my Instagram is at Michelle Mache, and one L on that. The Facebook has two L's, M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, and then M-E-I-C-H-E. And just stop by and say hi. I did want to say a lot of the beads I've been wearing lately, I did make it Energy Muse, and actually it's a kind of boutique, and I don't know if you call it manufacturing, but where they make their jewelry, whatever you want to call it, Torrance, California. And I'm working on, well, there's a lot for manifestation, grounding, protection, drawing in. And also my singing, I made a bracelet for my singing. And so working with the voice and self-expression. So when you go there, it's really quite lovely. You can have tea and just chill and hang out and chat. And they have areas where they charge the crystals and the beads, the stones. And you can also sit under this wonderful electromagnetic grid in the shape of a pyramid. And you can be there as long as you want. I think we spent an hour there. Anyway, well worth it. And then, of course, a lot of sentiment. You can buy things that are ready-made there also, but you can make your wonderful intention, I'm going to call them intention beads. So those of you that have been inquiring, that's the deal. That's where I got my bracelets, and yes, I did make them. And Tricia, thank you so much in the chat. Loved your solar newsletter. Oh, thanks. You know, everybody, if you want to get the newsletter, I do a monthly newsletter. It gives you kind of the happenings, and I give a forecast. And you can go to awakeningsradio@gmail.com and just say, sign me up, subscribe me. Yay. And we'll get you on the list. And I give a forecast for the month, what to expect, some things to do. If you do my teleworkshop, there's a weekly solar insights, a soul insights that I do with soul growth work, kind of a heads up of the week, what to expect, what's coming up, processes, exercises to do, focuses to do. And I tap in a bit and get into the soul insights as well. And it's all really about just really living more fully soul expressed, which we call soul-led living. And that soul expressed living is radiant soul expression. And what is that? I'm going to put that in the chat, actually. Equals. My new site that's coming up is Soul LOL. And we've got an app coming called Soul Playground. We've got a lot of stuff going on. But soul, somebody asked me the other day, Soul LOL, what is that? And I said, that is living, loving, and laughing out loud. How many of us growing up were told, oh, ladies don't do that, or little girls don't do that, or boys don't do this, or don't laugh so loud, or don't, quiet, don't, you know, so much kind of suppression and repression into our lives as children, and then, of course, as adults. And I remember I had a friend that had, you know, I have kind of a little giggly laugh, but this friend of mine had quite of a loud laugh and kind of a little, I don't know if you call it now, guffaw. And it used to drive mother up the wall. And her mother wanted her to have a different laugh and a different voice. She always, because she had kind of a deeper, graggly, crackly voice. And that was her thing. And the mom was, oh God, right. You're doing that on purpose. You're laughing this way. You know, that was her laugh. So one of my intentions has been all these years, those of you that have known me and see my evolution with the soul and what I've been focusing on, which has always been living from the template of the soul, finding out what is your truth, what does your soul really want you to do, and how are you meant to live. And we can only really find that really from within, learning our own inner GPS. Not trying to do what the secret says or Joey or Johnny or Susie or Karen or, you know, Maya or Lakshmi or whatever. Not doing what is, you know, other people are saying, this is what spiritual is, or this is what success is, or you have to look this way or talk this way or be this size or whatever. It's finding out your truth. What's the template of your being? And the template of your being comes from the temple of your being. And honestly, when you do that, you have more abundance. You know, I can tell you, you know, some of you have heard some of my stories, things that I gave up that were very, very successful and really people chastised me, even some of my own teachers. And I was simply following my inner prompting. I was following my higher self. The God is that I am within. That guidance. And things ended up being even more abundant for me, more prosperous. More amazing opportunities, more amazing connections, more amazing relationships. And had I listened to other people telling me you've got to do it this way or that way or the right way or this is the way to success, what everybody's doing. And I've always gone against the herd. I remember when I was acting and modeling and during the day, you know, I'd go to my job or whatever, you know, I'd have the call and they model, and I loved it. I had my books with me, my metaphysical books and my journal. Because you also do a lot of waiting. And, you know, then maybe on the way back, you know, that day or that night, I'd have gone to the metaphysical bookstore and got my books. You know, I just couldn't wait to dive in. And then I'd go out with my friends and, you know, we'd all meet up and go to, you know, cocktail, dinner, all the freebies that we had, then we go dancing, and everybody was going to the next place, the next club, and I'd be saying goodbye, and I'll never forget one time a guy said, what are you going to do? And I go, I'm going to go home and read. I was so excited. I couldn't wait to dive into the books that I had and look at my tarot and just, you know, do my meditations, my breath work. I was, like, so excited, and I'll never forget this one guy. The whole group of us are there, I don't know, about 10 of us, and we were meeting, like, I don't know, 5 or 10 more up the street. And this guy goes, oh, Michelle's going to go home and read. Oh, how boring. And I looked and I go, I don't care. I love it. I was like, and every time I saw him, I just mentioned my books. I thought, you know what? I'm going to just tickle you. I'm going to pinch you. You know, he was trying to make me feel bad, but I didn't care. I was like, hey, this is what I want to do. This is what I can't wait to do. And everybody just looked at me and kind of stared. And I was like, that's right. I'm going home to dive into my books. I can't wait. And I remember on this particular day, I had quite a stack. I think I had 6 or 7. And you know how it is when you're just, you know, that next level of awakening, you just can't get enough. You know, you're just a kid in the candy store with all the books and the knowledge and, you know, my courses and classes I was taking. And for me, it helped confirm what I already knew and was living, having been intuitive growing up, having been psychic. But it was now I found this world that affirmed that, that confirmed this, that, you know, and people. Now I found others that were similar to me, you know, in my travels. And everywhere I went, everywhere I went, I found amazing people. And some of my greatest joys were what I call the old-timers, you know, that were, you know, well, back then, 60s, 70s, 80s, and they had been, you know, living this way. They had been doing this. Or traveling in England and Scotland and meeting villagers that were just so amazingly dialed in and connected, so aware, so awake, so spiritual. It just, you know, and some of them generational, you know, teaching me pendulum or dowsing. And that's why I take a little, you know, I kind of stop and pause when people say, oh, the children nowadays are so much more advanced. And it's like, no, they're really not. You know, when I taught school, I did assistant teaching when I was going to college in my early 20s, and I guess late teens, 19, 20, I met tons of children that remembered past lives, new past lives, you know, and myself being growing up psychic and, you know, seeing auras and working with crystals and memories and blah, 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 on and on and on. What people have to remember now, it's just that the framework is here, the information, there's less veils, there's less censoring. And so anytime there's less censoring, kids get to thrive more. You know, and the consciousness is there. It's more infused. You see it everywhere. You know, there's not only books, but everything's online. There's programs like this. So whenever you have less restrained consciousness and awareness, when you have more consciousness that's present, everything is going to be infused with more consciousness, more awareness, you know, from our technology, cars, you know, the way we relate, what we know. I mean, it's just, you know, it's more prevalent because it's more prevalent within us. We've allowed that. Those that have gone before, this is why ancestor worship is so important, especially in, you know, from the shamanic principles, is because there is the recognition that we are where we are because of what has gone on before. You know, whether you want to look at that positively or negatively or a life-enhancing way, you know, the soil gets tilled more and gets more enriched. You know, when you fertilize something, it's better. That doesn't mean things weren't growing before, but it was harder. It was maybe more challenging or wasn't as prevalent. You know, and I remember as well when I would go on set, you know, I had my agents would always say, don't tell them you're psychic, for God's sakes, Michelle. And I'd go, you know, don't tell them all that stuff you're into. And I'd be like, why? I'm like, well, you're going to scare people. You know, then they're not going to book you. They're not going to think you're weird. And I'd be like, okay, whatever. And then I'd say, well, you know, I'm not going to censor myself. And every time, you know, I would be on set, every time I would talk, I don't care what type of project it was, everybody had situations. They would all of a sudden, everybody's coming up to me singly, one by one. You know, that's kind of why I even got into the field that I got into. Is because it was like, you know, bees to honey. It was like moths to the light, you know, moths to the flame. Everybody wanted to talk about all their experiences. What I came back with, and I said, you know, I would tell my agents, I'm like, you know what, everybody's closet, they're not closet gay. It's not everybody closet and gay. It's closet psychic. Everybody's closet intuitive. Everybody has psychic experiences. They've seen their grandmother. They knew when their mom was dying, or the grandfather came to them, or they got a message, or they had a gut feeling. And they don't want to talk about it because the resonant field wasn't there enough. It was there. It's always been there. But we've had to pull the layers back. And that's why so many of you, all the work that you're doing on yourself, all the you allowing yourself to be more you uncensored is allowing for this. We cannot have and grow what is not tilled. You know, if the soil is barren, there's only certain things that are going to be able to grow or come up from that. So every one of you that is being more in alignment with your true frequencies, your resonant frequencies, that's more in coherence, that's living more soul-led, that's daring to be more self-expressive, daring to be more creative, daring to be more compassionate or loving, even though maybe you're getting hurt and people are saying, oh, I wouldn't take that from her, or I wouldn't take that from him, or, you know, every one of you that's ever been slighted and hasn't you know, and has just let it go. And every one of you that is not having drama on Facebook, you know, calling people out or unfriending people, every one of you that is rising above duality and seeing both sides is contributing to this, you know, and some in a quieter way, some in a little louder way. And I recently put on my Twitter page, I did a video. I think I posted it actually on Facebook as well. And it was a short video. It was about living noisy, just to live more noisy. We're meant to make noise. That noise is synonymous with sound, which is synonymous with expression. And so when we say to vocalize or verbalize, it's not just speaking or singing or chanting or some kind of verbal utterance. It's vibration. You know, animal beings hear vibration that we don't hear. They hear our thoughts. You know, everything has vibration, which means it has tone, which means it can be felt strong enough. I did some experiments when I worked with some amazing healers and teachers, some of them through White Eagle Lodge, some other groups, the Theosophical Society, where we did intention experiments where we would connect in, align in, and then we would literally beam thoughts to plants. And you could literally, after a while, feel that thoughts were life-enhancing or affirming. You could feel the plant coming towards you. Like when we were doing energy work or Reiki, the plant, they would actually start bending towards you, just like trees or plants or, you know, lean towards the light, bend towards the light or the sunlight. The same thing would happen with us. And it was my contention. I got to get this in because I saw this on somebody's profile page and I liked it on Facebook. I don't remember now who it was, but it might be in my notifications or activity. Anyway, someone was laughingly put up how it's been proven that plants can hear. I don't know if they could feel, but I know they can definitely feel when they're being cut or eaten. And even though I was a vegan for, you know, God knows, so many years, and then vegetarian, I knew. It's not just, you know, the cows. It's not just the animal beings that we ingest that feel. It's also plants. Everything is alive. Everything is of consciousness. And I remember that experiment way back when, then really proved that, and all my friends, oh, see, and you eat lettuce, you're still, I'm like, okay, I know, we have to eat and be eaten and just, you know, it's a cycle, you know, it's going to feel pain, it's going to feel something, because everything is sentient, everything feels. You can do that with trees, even trees are wonderful, do open eye meditation, really get in alignment, and if you cup your hands, like you do in energetic healing, like pranic healing, you can feel the life force energy coming off the tree. You can feel it being met. If you get, you know, or like squirrels love to do that. Squirrels are amazing. If you can, I posted again a picture the other day doing this with a squirrel where I came out. I literally stood there. The squirrel saw me. We locked eyes and was about to scamper away. And I said, please, I want to take a couple pictures of you. And that little sucker looked at me, relaxed itself. And wait, I got 5 pictures from that little being before it scampered off. So this is all going somewhere. I don't digress. These little things that I'm sharing with you, and a lot of you already know this and do this, I'm sure. However, it's good to do these kinds of things on a regular basis because it keeps you dialed in to the truth of who you are, the interconnectedness of you, that you, we are all interconnected, whatever you want to call it. Multidimensional, you know, species, animal being, human being, whatever. But when you do these things, you're literally connecting in to the resonant fields. It's like an attunement. It's a mini alignment or attunement, like a little chiropractic adjustment to the universe. In the Nordic tradition of the runes, they call it connecting into weird. You know, when we say, God, that's weird. Well, weird came from, it started with W-Y-R-D, weird meant the unknowable, the woof and warf of the all that is, the uncanny, the synchronistic, the what seems odd or weird is really coming from the mystery, the magic.
And so when we do connect into what's weird, whether within us, it's the unexplainable. We're connecting into the great mystery, to the all that is. And so times of doing that, especially on your own or when you're walking with your dog, or you're just out kind of meandering around, when you do that, it's a wonderful reestablishing. For me, it kind of realigns me. It sinks me in. It's kind of like a reboot, you know, and I get a bit, you know, even energized because magical things start happening, you know. You open up to that magic, you know, because we live a lot in our to-do list, right? We have so many, you know, things to do, projects, kids, da-da-da-da-da, work, blah-blah-blah-blah. So, which is beautiful, but too much emphasis on that because that's where the mainstream consciousness lives, is an overactivation of your left brain or left hemisphere of the brain. It's working too much into I have to do it or make it happen. So if you ever find yourself kind of in that and kind of feeling a little less shiny, like life's getting a little dull, it's getting a little hard, you know, it's hard out there. When you start saying that, sharing with you, and start shifting back into the magic where you're allowing things to happen, you're allowing the higher self to come through more and assist you. You're allowing the God is I am. You're allowing all that is. You're allowing the universe now to carry you a bit. And so there's less effort on the little self, right? Yeah. Okay. All right. Should we get the calls? Should we get the callers? Okay. First, I want to say everybody howdy in the chat room. Got lots of people coming in. Love it, love it, love it. Kisses to all of you. And let's just get to those lines. That number again is 347-539-5122. 347-539-5122. Press 1 on the keypad to get on air. That lets me know that you want to be heard. And our first caller is 804-237. Welcome.
Hi, Michelle. This is Rachel.
Hey, Rachel.
I am calling you from Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, wonderful.
And I wanted to call. I was wondering if I could utilize your awesome skill.
Absolutely. You know I love it. Absolutely.
Wonderful. I know that change is in the air. Lots of rebooting, restart. The Cardinal Grand Cross is up in the sky. And I myself am at my own sort of crossroads where a relationship in my life has ended. And I am just wavering back and forth as to whether or not that was the right decision. I think I know the answer, but would just love to have some of your thoughts and your feedback on that.
Okay, let's look at that. Now, were you back and forth with this person?
Just more back and forth, yeah. Energetically back and forth, yes.
Like so in your mind, right? Like, yeah. Well, somehow it doesn't seem completely, oh, yeah, difference of opinion. Woo! Honey. Yeah, you were definitely back and forth in your mind with this. You know what?
Yeah.
Not just not fitting into your values, principles, and beliefs. I feel like this person could be an acquaintance friend. That could be a friend. But for where you want to go in your life, I can just even hear yourself in the head saying, oh, no, or, oh, I can't believe it's doing this, or no, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there, and I feel like there could have been a lot of conflict or power struggle over, like, you know, definitely drawn to you, but I'm feeling like not quite up to your level of awareness, I guess, or where you
okay.
want to live. Does that make
okay.
sense?
Yes, that makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank
you.
Take that and run
yeah.
with it.
Okay. You know, I mean, part of you feels like you still you'd like to still be a date.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, why don't you?
Repeat the previous.
Oh yeah, so I feel that you would still like to date. So I'm saying why don't you?
Oops, your phone's going out.
Oh, can you hear me?
Now I can, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you now. Yeah.
Okay. The relationship started very quickly and fast and just got to a point to where I didn't know how happy I was anymore. And this person that I was with is a Cancer. I'm an Aries. Lots of interesting turmoil there to begin with. And so the thought has crossed my mind that perhaps we should push rewind and start with the dating before we go to the intense relationship, though I just don't know for sure how realistic that would be.
Because you want to date, keep it light. I do feel he has stuff to work through.
Okay.
You know, as we all do. But there is some issues of values, principles, and beliefs. There is some issues around what you value or what you want to focus on. Here's the thing I think everybody needs to kind of be aware of is that resonance doesn't mean exactly the same as me. So sometimes we will get people in our life that have a piece that we either need to connect with or we're completing on something or you know, I always say we're swapping energy is really what we do when we're relating. The soul is needing, is attracting something, you know, energetically within that person.
Okay.
But not everybody is a forever always, you know. I'm actually going to be talking about, I think I'm on next Tuesday, I think it's 1 o'clock, the Mary Lynn Show. I'm going to be talking about soulmates and attracting your soulmate, life mate. Very important to ask for a life mate, not just a soulmate, because we have many soulmates, and sometimes what you get is these very difficult relationships. If you ask just for your soulmate, you'll get a working relationship. But a soulmate that's also life mate, we also call it soul mated, is one that has what it takes with you and you have what it takes with that person to be a partner in your life, you know, to be a complement instead of the oppositional energy that you're just focusing on kind of integration energy. But as casual dating, I like the connection. I agree to go further. There's going to be power struggles on either side, and so maybe
sure.
There's some learning for you as well. For the next one that comes in, I feel like there's some maybe things you'll let go of, some things you'll take on. Like, okay, this is how I am in this situation. Flexibility. Your thing is going to be learning flexibility.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. And he's going to bring it to you, baby.
I do like to have white knuckles for some reason. I'm not quite sure why.
But enjoy yourself. I think lighten it up and enjoy yourself. And don't make it, I agree with you, don't make it be something forever, always right now.
Okay, just go with it. Keep it casual and light.
Yeah, have fun.
Okay.
Have fun.
Okay.
Yeah, be entertained. Okay. All right, sweetie.
Thank you. Thank you so
calling
much.
In. No. Keep us posted.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
All righty, bye-bye.
Hi, 956-341. You're on Awakenings Radio. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for having me on the show.
Hi, what's your first name?
Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer. Go ahead, what's your question?
I was calling to see if you see my relationship going like further with my boyfriend.
Okay. Well, it's showing a little indecision on your part and on his. You want it to, but there's a part of you that's kind of stopped. I feel like there could be some behavior you're not crazy about. And he's wondering. So part of what I feel is you feel he's not totally in it or is wondering, and that's making you stop. What I would suggest is just be you. He tends to do that. I don't feel it's a reflection of you. I don't feel that he's yet ready to totally dive in or go further yet, like that next level. But I also don't feel he wants to – he's trying to think – what you're picking up on intuitively Jennifer, because you are very intuitive. You're I wouldn't say psychic, but you're empath. You can feel when somebody changes a little. If someone's in the water,
yeah,
they start swimming a little. Yeah, you start feeling it. And so what I want to say for you, your learning lesson is in this is, you know, be aware of that, but don't cut off. Because sometimes people, you know, and I have clients that I work with that have been married, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and they learn over time, you know, that people wiggle. People, sometimes they're in a bad mood. Sometimes who knows what they're going through in their head. You have to let people go through their process. So sometimes you might feel more space because somebody's in their process. So if you pull back, then it's going to throw him off also. So just be where you are. I wouldn't be totally jumping in and overgiving, but I wouldn't just cut off because I could feel it energetically. Oops, the steel wall is coming down because you can feel him shifting a little. He's just going through a little something right now. I don't feel breakup, but I feel like he's thinking, uh-oh, is this going too fast or what does she expect from me? But I feel like if you just, you know, if you just show up, let him take you out, don't pressure, you guys will get through this hump.
Okay. Because he also asked me if I wanted to have his baby also because he's getting older and, you know, I'm getting older too. And I told him yes, but he can't seem to perform. I don't know if it's because he's embarrassed or because he's stressed out or because he's just not sure.
It's the intimacy. It's the intimacy issue. You know, I've gone through that before. It's the intimacy issue. A lot of times, that's what I'm saying. Don't see somebody. See, he's jumping ahead. He's thinking, I want this, but do I really? Can I handle this? Am I ready for this? So, just be. You know, just pull back a little bit. I would just say, hey, babe. You know, yeah. At some point, that would be great. Let's just be where. Relieve his pressure. Let's just be where we're at now. If it's meant to happen, it'll happen. Let's just down the road. Sometimes guys do that. Guys, why? Call me and let me know. I have my ideas, and I have brothers as well, male friends. Sometimes guys they jump in before they're emotionally ready, and then it freaks the heck out of them. And then there will be issues of not being able to, you know. I hate the word perform because we don't want to feel that they're performing, but you know what I mean, everybody. Yeah. They're not able to keep the little thing down below doesn't work. The little beefcake doesn't work. And that, you know, it's like, and that's a sure sign of intimacy issues a lot of times. I mean, there could be, you know, medical reasons too, psychological, there could be other reasons. But a lot of times they're just, you know, realizing, oh, my God, this person's my friend. You know, it's like my everything, you know, all in one, and it kind of freaks them out. You know, they're not yet maybe emotionally able to handle that. And there could be some, you know, unfortunately, some mother issues that they could feel like, oh, my God, I'm being, you know, kind of immersed in this.
Yeah, because I feel like his mom is pressuring him to also have a baby, so.
There you go, see. Pressure, you know, we ladies, we can kind of, I hate to say it, we can, you know, we have going to have pressure, but, you know, we don't necessarily show it because we don't have that physiological issue. So he's feeling the pressure. Pressure is not good for the guy's hoo-ha, whatever you want to call it, you know, the penis. It does not work with pressure. So the thing to do is roll things back and tell mama to be quiet. You know, things will happen. I would say, you know, people that don't care about getting pregnant, get pregnant much more easily. You know, pressure, whether, you know, it's not a good thing for the woman either, you know, or stress. But that's what I feel. There's the mama issue coming in. I feel he likes you, loves you, he's into you. I would just roll it back and say, babe, we have plenty of time, you know, and just, you know, you're my chulo, let's roll it back. Let's roll it back. And release the pressure. That's what's happening.
But later on, if it does work out between us, do you see me having like a baby like later on in the future?
Oh, I see kids around you. I see more than one. But I think all of you both, you got to roll it back. How old are you anyway?
I'm 20.
That old? You're young. Oh my God.
Yeah, but also my mom wants me to have a child too. Because she's okay. My mom also wants me to have a child, too, because she says that she's ready to pass on already. And my dad is the same way. And it's just...
Okay, you really have to stop listening to your parents.
because you're going to get in a mess in that relationship. You're not even going to be able to mother your own children if you're not able to listen to your own inner knowing. I wish I had more time to spend with you on air, but you have to go by your soul timing, by God's timing, not by your mother or the mother, soon-to-be mother-in-law's timing or father's timing. Because you can already see it's the impotence that's there. Let's look at what that impotence means, not being able to be effective, not being empowered, not being able to handle the energy. So, it's happening, to your partner literally, and it's happening to you figuratively. So I would say you got to roll everything back, tell everybody, please, silencio, please, por favor, cállate. And roll it back and go back into dating mode, fun mode. You're young. You're going to have probably two or three. I wouldn't worry about it. But if you go on this way, I feel like the guy is not going to be able to take it. It's just you'll end up losing him. Even if you marry him, you'll lose him psychologically because of the pressure.
I think I'll marry him within a year or so, a year or two.
Perfect. Perfect. After your Saturn return is a great time to get married. I wouldn't get married during a Saturn return. I'd date him, have fun, because I do feel when you get married, it's going to be all about the kids and house and, you guys are pretty dutiful. So I would just bond and have a great time, let you guys grow individually and as a couple. And I would say anywhere between 30 and 32. 32 would be perfect, but, that's maybe a long engagement. But yeah, just dial it back, the pressure back, and have fun, okay?
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling in. You're welcome, sweetie. Hey, Denise DeFaro.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing great. On the roll.
On the roll. I couldn't believe it when I heard you say, don't be hearing yourself say it's hard. Life's hard. And I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to read. That's exactly what I said yesterday.
Oh, yeah. When you say that, that means, we're putting too much pressure on ourselves and we're trying to do it all ourselves. What is that thing in God or Christ, all things are possible or whatever. It's true, that divine, mystical part of ourselves. If life is getting too hard, we're not in that part. The little ego is trying to do it all.
Yeah. So I was wondering a question in relation to that, if you have any hit on a workshop I've got planned coming
work.
Up. And,
yeah. Let's see. Definitely your work and your workshops are definitely the way to go. It looks like more expansion. It does look like I see partnership, but I also see you doing some stuff on your own is what it's saying as well. And, and really pushing through. It's really about your self-assertion right now, really doing what's right for you, really pushing through.
Okay.
Let us know. Come back and put it in the chat. Let us know. We'll promo it for you.
Well, thanks. Okay, I've got one. I'll put it on the Awakenings page.
Yeah, please do. Please do.
Okay.
Thanks, Denise.
Thank
you. Love to hear your voice. Wonderful.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Hi, 323-638. You're on Awakenings Radio.
Hey, Michelle. It's me, Angela.
Hey,
in Hawaii.
Hey, Angela. Aloha.
Aloha. I am dating in LA and Hawaii, but I'm not sure with these guys I have been meeting, but I was wondering how I can meet my soulmate, life mate. Like, I like what you said earlier, like not just soulmate, but soulmate, life mate.
Yeah.
With grace,
you want the life
ease,
mate.
And
you want the part.
Speed. And,
well, you go ahead. What were you going to say?
Oh, okay. For me, I would like a baby. And, I'm feeling that settled down thing, like starting a family.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess for me, my dating has been more, not just dating any random guy, but it's just more, the goal more now is a soulmate, life mate, and to be able to recognize him as such. and to do it in a, like, for me, I guess, I don't know, it's about, not about speed in the earthly realm, but it's like, I don't want to wait around forever.
Here's the thing, and I know it's kind of an 80s model that still is kind of a leftover, hangover, that, well, there was a couple things that were taught that really are not true, that if you're dating someone or in a relationship, you're closing off to drawing someone else in, and that operates on scarcity because the world, you know, is abundant, right? So then that, oh, if you really want to draw the right person in, you have to date seriously. And that's not true either. What does draw in the quote-unquote life partner, soulmate life partner, is you living more by it. Also, by the way, I got to tell you this because, I've had some I kind of turned into like a relationship coach. And I'm working with the clearing work and helping. It also has to do with soul timing. See, we've so – and that was my incarnation coming here, is to really – school people, educate people on the soul. The old model was you get married at a certain time, you know, you go to school, you do this, you do that, and we still have that. You know, I have friends and clients that have kids, you know, like they're already 11 years old planning for college. You know, they're overbooked, more overbooked academically and extracurricularly than even I am, you know. So it says you have to do this and this and this to get ahead. You know, you have to go to this school, you have to go to this college, this sorority or fraternity, whatever, this group, da-da-da-da-da, you know, then you get the, you know, get out of school, you know, meet the guy, you know, the girl, whatever, get fiancé, you know, then you get together, then you buy a house, you do that for a couple of years, then you get this car, then you get a second car, then you get a second home, and then you have kids, and you have two kids, or two, right, the proverbial 2.5 kids, two cars in the garage.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still, a lot of us, we're operating off of that. That, I hate to say this, because we don't always get what we want when we want it. The soul has its own particular timing. And so it looks like if we don't get married by a certain age or stage, if we don't have children by a certain time, or if we don't have children at all, that something's wrong with us. You know, or God forbid you had a cold or a flu, then something else is also wrong with you. So that notion will greatly be changing. That belief system will greatly be changed. It's changing, but it's still in the mainstream. So along with that is people saying, oh, don't go out with certain people, you know, or don't, you know, if you really are serious. Iffy. The best thing to do to heighten your frequency and to draw more abundance in whatever that is for you within your realm is to keep very open and active, unless you're going through a cycle where you feel more inward. You know, that's another thing. You know, that could be, you have to follow, you know, your own cycle. But I would say just be open to all that life that's brought in. I mean, you can always say no, but I wouldn't just say I'm only dating guys that are going to be potentially husbands or, you know, life partners, significant other.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, don't. Because right away you're closing off. Because you don't know. You might go out with somebody and you become really good friends, and then through that guy you end up meeting somebody. Or let's say you're sort of casually dating that guy, and then he invites you to a great party. There's a great band there. You go, and then lo and behold, you meet somebody at the buffet table. Do you know what I mean? So I feel an issue. I don't think men do this as much. I think women were taught to do this, and we're kind of nesters anyway, is we go out looking for the husband, and that is usually right, or the life partner that usually
true. That's
is,
true.
Right. But I just find if you just are sassy, frassy, sparkle, however you are, just be yourself, the right people and situations are attracted to you. That's the best way to attract the soulmate. Because here's the key. You've heard me say it probably 6 or 7 times now in this conversation, attract. So we don't go get something. We don't go, you know, even that perfect job, people will tell you somehow it landed in their lap. You know, they were looking for work. But to get a job, that's just what you get. To get a man, that's just what you get. Or get a girl, that's just what you get. Or woman or whatever. That's what you get. You get what you get. Do you see the difference? But when you're out living your life, you attract those people and situations that are of most resonance. Now, you can have an idea of what's right for you or what you want, and you can put that forth. You can focus on that or think about that. You can have that in mind. You can even, you know, you can come to know yourself through wisdom, Angela, and say, wow, these are the things that I want. But trust me, you really, if you, everybody looks, even before people did, you know, writing out what you wanted in a partner, you tend, people tend to attract what's of resonance. So the more you're living in resonance, the more you're living fulfilled, the more you're living in resonance with what it is that you really like and what you really want to do, the more you're living authentically, the more you will attract people in situations that are in alignment. That makes sense?
Okay. It does. So it's instead of looking out there, it's more about being myself and doing the best things for myself. And you know, instead of trying to look at people and see where they fit in, I can just take care of my own stuff, and then naturally, I guess, like what you said, attract it, that will attract right, for, like, because of what I'm doing.
And you know, you see this. A good thing is, I used to do races, 10Ks, and it was interesting. You're running along, you get your rhythm. And I used to run with, you know, music. I had my music. And then you kind of look to the side and somebody's running the similar pace as you. When I ran like that, I did really well. When I tried to catch up to the person that was the fastest, you know, or hold myself back or somebody that was running, I didn't have a good race. So you stay in your race. You stay in your lane. You're swimming. You stay in your lane. All of a sudden you look over. Ooh, somebody has a similar pace and pattern, a rhythm that I do, and then it works. You know, like I said, the people that I feel that have been happily fulfilled marriages or life partnerships, that's what they end up telling me. You know, it's my best friend. We had enough similarity. There was this compatibility, and so if you're living your truth, that's what you're going to attract more of that.
Okay.
Yeah?
Okay. Yeah, I feel like I'm getting what you're saying.
Good. You don't have to do anything. Just be you and just put yourself in the situation of people that you want to be with, what type of people you want to be with. Be in those situations, but be you in those situations, and that's what will attract.
Okay, yeah. I like that. Like, I don't have to do much. I just be myself and not overthink things.
That's why I don't like
to. I tend to overthink.
Everybody wants to manifest something. We want to use the law of magnetic attraction. We're going to use this. No, you be who you are. You be in resonance. The more accurately you are connected to your resonance, the more alignment, the more attunement, the less dissonance in your life and the least amount of dissonance that you attract. So it really goes back to, you know, those colloquial sayings, birds of a feather flock together. Tell me who your friends are and I'll tell you who you are. So we attract by resonance. We attract by our interests, you know. It's just uncanny that way, but that's the way that it works. You know, what you were really interested in, what you're doing in your life, that's what you'll attract. So when you change, just like changing your, you know, our guest is going to be talking about this, changing your story, change your life, change your beliefs, change your life, change your activities, change your life. Those that are hanging out more at the gym, you know, those that are keeping fit tend to attract people that are fit, tend to live more healthily. So it really is by our, you know, our thoughts and our intentions and our doingness that we attract to us. All right, Angela, keep us posted. Stay on. We have our guest coming on.
Okay, thank you.
You're so welcome.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Great callers. Thank you so much for your participation. Great input in the chat as well. Like I said at the top of the program, we do have Carl Greer with us today, which I'm
so excited because this topic is so up my alley. He is the author of Change Your Life, Change Your Story, Change Your Life, Using Shamanic and Jungian Tools to Achieve Personal Transformation. Carl Greer earned a doctorate in clinical psychology, then became a Jungian analyst. The shamanic healing work he does is drawn from a blend of North American and South American indigenous trainings, and he's influenced as well by Jungian analytical psychology. He's also trained with Peruvian shamans and has worked with shamans in South America, the United States, Canada, Australia, Ethiopia, and Outer Mongolia. We are going to be diving in and talking about how is it that changing your story can change your life. Carl, welcome to the program.
Well, nice to be here, Michelle. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. It's interesting. We've been talking a bit about people wanting to attract more fulfillment or more of what's in alignment to what they want now. And
yes.
I find it fascinating that your whole premise is that it is possible, first of all, that it's possible to change your life. And let me ask you, by changing your story, is that changing what you happened to you or what you felt happened to you, or is it the mental thought? What would that premise be to changing your story?
I think we all have a life about which a story could be told. And okay. If one way to get into changing your life is to really be honest with yourself and see what has been the story that you've been living. With all of his chapters, you know, a chapter about your health and your relationships and your psychology and your job and your being of service in the world and connection to a greater power, all the chapters that make us us. So the first mm-hmm. step is to look at really what is, and that's hard for most of us because we don't want to sometimes see what is. We want to see what we'd like to see.
Mm. So how do we change our story then?
Well, first you start from really what is your story, being honest. And then you have to, and that's harder because it takes time to reflect. Most of us want to change, but it's hard to take the time to think, what do we want to change from to what? And then the next step is to say to yourself, what is it that you would like to have in your life instead of what you have? And and that's kind of like a New Year's resolution thing. But then the trick is, obviously, well, if you'd like it to be different, why isn't it? And the stuff that I talk about in my book, the different techniques, are to look at unconscious processes that keep us from really getting to where we would like to get in changing our story. And I use shamanic and Jungian tools to allow us to really see ourselves as we are and to access energies and information that helps us change.
Mm, I love it. I got to tell you one thing I do love that you're also seeing is that you first have to honestly see where you're at, you know, where you came from or where you're at. I think that assessment is so profound because I don't know about you, but I hear a lot of times people saying, I want to make changes. And my first thought is, well, look and see what you're attracting, what's in your life right now. That would tell us a lot about our state of mind. Now, Carl, one thing, and especially since, you know, the economic, you know, downturn that we, you know, had in, I guess, what, 2008 and 2009, a lot of people do ask, you know, what about the collective? In other words, what, you know, this is my story is right now, let's say somebody calls in and says, well, I'm having financial challenges. And then they'll say, well, that's just because of the economy. That's where everybody's happening. What do we do with that? If there's this outer story, so to speak, is it affecting us? Is it possible to change that as well?
That's interesting because we can certainly change the way we react to it. I heard part of your conversation with the previous caller, and mm-hmm. you were suggesting she just change, just work with herself, and then the outer things would change. By working with
sometimes.
Yourself, sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
You're not necessarily going to Yeah, you're not necessarily going to change the economic look of the country, but the way in which it affects you and the way in which you then deal with it may change.
And what's interesting, too, with that is because there are, you know, and again, this gets into so much, you know, I think on a soul level, what we're meant to, each person's meant to go through or why, you know, it's touchy territory, because sometimes there can be, like we're talking about economic downturn, things can be not going great, like let's say for your neighbor, but you're doing well, or the economy hasn't hurt somebody, but it has hurt someone else. So, you know, it's chicken egg theory, whether, you know, which way do we go with that? So,
yes.
But I do agree with you. I think the looking at ourselves individually as to what we are focusing on and what is the story. Also, what do you feel about this? What is the story we're telling ourselves? Is that part of it also? Is there some kind of replaying that we tend to do that may keep us in our circumstances?
Yes, I definitely see that. And it's hard to sometimes move beyond that story that we tell ourselves, because that story is the one we'd like to have, the one we'd like to be seen as, but the disconnect comes when, in fact, it's not that, and then we feel bad.
So it's kind of the self-perpetuating thing that can take place, I guess.
And that's why your point early on that to really take time to look at what your story is so important, and to do it in a variety of ways, using your left brain and your right brain, you know, what's the song of your story, so that you ultimately get the themes you've been living. You know, for example, if you've been the bridesmaid, never the bride, I keep slogging through this quicksand, I can't ever get to where I want to get. You know, I keep pushing this boulder up the hill, and I just get to the top, and it starts to roll back down. I mean, what are the themes that seem, when we really look at ourselves, are there? And then are there ways to change the energies that hold those themes in our lives? And that's what I talk about and suggest ways to work with those energies to make changes.
Mm-hmm. So those things that you're saying, those statements, how impactful are those?
The statements you say to yourself?
Yes.
Oh, I think they're very impactful. I mean, it's like you know, like your dad, you're 8 years old, and he says some offhand comment. Boy, you don't know how to throw that ball very well. That may haunt you all your life.
Mm-hmm.
And statements that we tell ourselves can also haunt us.
Now, I'd like to tie this in a bit, Carl, because I'm a fan of working with archetypes. The archetype, and I love that you say energy. So this, in a sense, what I'm also hearing from you is what we believe is an energetic force. Could we
Yes, it is. Yes.
It is. Okay.
Yep.
So when you're changing the story, in essence, are you changing your energy somehow? Is that...
I think you're changing energy. You're changing the way energy affects you. There's this idea that one of the reasons we're not able to change our stories is we have unconscious resistances to change. And if we can start to see what they are, then those energies which have been holding us back and the energies we've used to keep them unconscious get freed up for other use. And that's demonstrated. That's a positive for doing work where you try to find out those parts of yourself that have different agendas than you consciously have.
Mm-hmm. Now, one thing I want to ask you, because I've noticed something, and I've even experienced it myself to a smaller degree, but nonetheless, it seems to me that when we have more limiting thoughts, more of this is life is hard, I can't do it, I never can get ahead, or I'm always the bridesmaid, not the bride. I find that people with a preponderance of those kinds of thoughts usually don't have a lot of energy, tired. And I know for myself, when I have felt that way, I've been more tired or depressed or just can't get going. Do you feel there's a correlation to those kinds of thoughts and to our energy levels or what we can perhaps handle in life?
Absolutely. I think that our the shamanic worldview, it's kind of a quantum physics worldview, everything is connected. So our thoughts are connected to our emotions, connected to our physiology, connected to our psychology, connected to our soul's journey. It's all connected.
Okay. And you mentioned shamanic view. Just for our listeners, how do you term shamanic or shamanism?
Well, shamans, I think, at core, work with energy. They heal. They bring things back from the past, and they work with the future. And they go to what I call in my book transpersonal realms, which we could also think of as unconscious realms, to get energy and information. And that's the thing that I think can break that cycle that you mentioned a minute ago about somebody getting trapped in negative thoughts. They need to have a broader arena to play in psychologically and at every other level. And by dealing with these unconscious realms, the shamanic worldview is that there's real energy and wisdom there. And it's possible, I believe, for persons anybody can teach themselves to avail themselves of the benefits of being in those realms. It's like, Michelle, when you work with your dreams, if you learn how to work with your dreams, it's a real insight sometimes as to what's going on that you're not aware of.
I tell you, I agree. And sometimes you get your next steps, you know, as well. You know, one of your chapters, I'm not sure which one it was that I was looking through, but you talk about, you brought it up with dreams, that you state, reflect on where you are in your waking life. You have felt or feeling emotions similar to those in the dream.
Yep.
Where you experience or experiencing the dream themes playing out. When do you first recall experiences, dreams, emotions, and themes? I found that so profound. Where in the waking life have you felt? So what is happening in that kind of dream sequence where you're feeling, let's say in the dream there's fear. By this you could say maybe in the waking life you've been feeling fear.
Yes, it may be in the dream there is a story around that fear that when you relate it to your waking life, you start to say, oh, yeah, that's what's going on. You know, it's you know, my boss is reminding me of my father, and I'm afraid of being chastised. And then the freeing up is, you know, but he's not my father. And when I look at him, he's not doing anything to make me fearful, but he's just reminding me of my father. And that can be very freeing for a person who, in that example I just made up, is afraid of their boss. The dream would give them an insight into what's going on in their waking life. And shamanic work journeys can do as well.
But I'd like that, though, because it's, in a way, it's kind of updating the mind, you know, and thoughts, and therefore the emotions, because maybe in the past that person didn't have, you know, the ability or the empowerment, you know, to do something about the, you know, the father or couldn't speak up. But that doesn't mean they can't now, right, as in this state of awareness.
Yes, right.
So a lot of people, you know, ask about the symbolism in dreams, like how to interpret that. Is it literal? Is it figurative? You know, in that note, what could you suggest to people that, you know, want to start working with the symbols in their dream?
Well, some people get a symbol in a dream and they go to a dream dictionary and look it up. I always suggest that would be the very last step. And instead, ask the symbol, you know, why did you appear? What message do you have for me? What do you want from me? Ask it any questions, and then what can I do for you? I have a little litany of those four things in my book in the process, which I call dialoguing, and that is having a conversation with whatever comes up, be it in a dream, like a symbol, or in a journey, or something you encounter in nature. And then the symbol becomes personal to you. For example, sometimes kitchens in dreams mean a place of transformation. But for you, when if I would say, gee, Michelle, did you have a dream about a kitchen? You said, yeah. And what comes to your mind? Well, that was where my grandmother had a heart attack. So it's not You could say, well, that's transformation, but it has more to do with your personal story. So to ground the symbol in your personal life, what it means to you, is very, very important, I think, when working with symbols. Your personal meanings before you get to the collective meanings.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that. I like that. Yeah, I always think, that's the same thing with tarot or, you know, anything. When you're going always to the book or the collective, you're getting their, you're either getting mainstream or you're getting what somebody else thinks. So, now, what do you think?
Yes,
yes. Would you suggest a people writing it down and then writing in what it means? And then how would somebody bring it into the waking light?
With the dream, the start is to write it down, and then I think it's important to maybe say it out loud a couple of times. So, because sometimes when you have a dream, it changes in the telling, and that's always interesting. And then you may have three or four main images that come up for you in the dream. Then ask yourself, well, what comes to your mind? You know, there's a big gnarly oak tree. What comes to my mind when I think about a gnarly oak tree? And then there may be, you know, two other images, and you associate to those what comes to your mind. And then you may tell the dream again with those associations in it. So each time you're trying to enrich it and deepen your relationship to that unconscious message from the dream. And then you might do this dialoguing process. You might go back and go beyond the associations and ask the oak what meaning it has for you. And then you've gotten some more information, and then you can ask yourself, well, where in my waking life are some of these themes or ideas or emotions present? And then you might go back, when's the first time I ever felt that? In psychology, they talk about the triangle of insight, you know, the first time you had something, where it showed up in the unconscious, where it is in your waking life, and where it is in the therapeutic interaction. So you're getting a sense of how all these issues are coming together, and then you have the ability to make sense of them yourselves and do something different in your life than you otherwise would have done.
Mm. Now, just to kind of clarify a bit, or are they similar? The archetypal energies, maybe define the archetypal energies. And then my second part of the question is, are those archetypal energies present within the dream? Or so everything we dream, is that part of the archetype, our archetype, or is it different?
The way I think about it, I think shamans would think about this too, you know, before the Big Bang, there was something, and I call it the quiet, you know, it's the place from which everything came, you know, and we as humans, we were someplace before we got here, we're here, and we'll be someplace after we're dead. And so this place from which everything came, the one, it manifested lots of stuff in lots of universes, and we're in one universe and one galaxy and one solar system and one planet that has things that we can see. But it's also, I believe, there's invisible energies out there as well. And archetypal energies are these invisible energies that influence how we think, act, and feel. And so in a dream, you may encounter something that influences how you think, act, and feel. And you may be in the grip of an archetype. For example, you know, a guy who's a woman who's a workaholic. I mean, that could be an archetypal energy that just keeps you, for complicated reasons, you know, working 80 hours a week to the exclusion of other things in your life. So those would be an example of an archetypal energy that maybe has you in your grip. And the challenge then, if you want to change your story, is to get free of that archetypal energy so that you're free.
Mm. So let me ask you, it sounds like then we are potentially, collectively, or maybe through group agreement, resonance, creating various archetypes all the time, maybe within our culture, our generation. Is that Or is it the same archetypal energies over and over, or are they new ones created, I guess is what I'm
That's a really big metaphysical question. Are all the archetypes that ever have been and ever will be present right now, and all we do is have different reactions to them? Or, as you're suggesting, are we creating just through this process of being life, humans, creating new ones? I don't know the answer to that question, but I think the more classic answer would be the first thing I said, that we just relate to these energies in different ways. They affect us in different ways. But they're universal energies.
They're universal, yeah. Makes sense, but maybe, yeah, like kind of a updated theme, you know, or new take
But what you say, it could be that we as a human society are certainly creating new ways of being potentially, but it remains to be seen if that's going to be successful. And would that be a new archetype? That's a kind of a philosophical question.
Yeah. Interesting. I never thought of it before, Carl. You brought this out in me. I just thought, because by what you said, it sparked it. I thought, well, maybe we're – but that is an interesting contemplation, you know. Is it just, you know, more awareness of one or amplifying, you know, an archetypal energy or imagery or archetypal symbol? Are we just amplifying it or putting more there, or, you know, updating, you know, perhaps that's what's happening. Now, are symbols coming as well from the archetypes? Is that also where symbols are coming from, or the meaning of symbols are steeped in the archetypes as well?
Well, they come from the field from which archetypes come. You know, this quiet, you know, this big, vast, unconscious sea of which we are a part that affects our moods and our dreams. I think symbols in our psyche, symbols come up, and oftentimes in uncanny ways, we get just the right symbol for us at the time if we know how to interpret it. And shamans would go further and say, sometimes the symbol appears out in nature. You know, you're walking someplace and you've never, ever seen a buck deer, and it's there, and there's an opportunity for you then to have the conversation. Why did you appear to me now? What message do you have for me? What do you want from me? And sometimes that information can be very powerful in somebody's everyday life.
So what would be, of course, your book. I do like your book. You know, I get a lot of books through here, and really am enjoying the layout of your book, and I find it very informative, but user-friendly.
Thank you.
Yeah, so that Change Your Story, Change Your Life, Using Shamanic and Jungian Tools to Achieve Personal Transformation, those of you listening up, is the title. So starting with that, but would it help people to study more about symbolism or the archetype? I mean, I guess that would be one way, or is it just starting with their own personal archetypes, like you said earlier?
I'd say the big push in my book is to bring kind of spiritual ideas into your everyday life, you know, your spiritual experiences, and try to really use all these ideas to make differences in your health, in your relationships, in your psychology. And so that's my focus. It's a means to an end. The other thing that's up for me right now is to have people find ways of being of service in the world, which gets back to your very first point about, you know, in a world of economic, say, hardship, what can an individual do? And I think kind of the answer is, as we do our own individual work, then at least we have a chance of changing the system and changing the energies that influence us all, you know, person by person.
I love that. And you're big on accountability. In fact, you donate, I believe, the profits from your book go to a charity. So it sounds like you're big on this accountability, responsibility, and giving back. Why? I know that sounds like a moot point, but what is your reasoning? I agree with you, but I'm curious as to where that fits in.
yeah, I wasn't always like this. I was more on the acquisitive side, but then all of a sudden I step back and say, you know, I have been fortunate in my life, and I want to, in the time I have left, give back to others to give them opportunities like I had. And so I'm trying to do that in a variety of different causes to help people who otherwise might not have a chance have a chance.
I like that. I think even if we did just stuff locally, you know, whatever you can do, you know, giving your food or extra food, I think, to the homeless, you know, I mean, I think there's just so many things we can do on a personal level, an individual level that impacts people, you know, right in our own, you know, community, in fact, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many kids that just don't have the opportunity to go to school past high school, and to work with some of them at an earlier age to give them that chance, I think that's doing good work. There's so many women that are battered and their kids and they are affected, and to do something about that I think is good work, and many other causes.
Now, Carl, can you, and you heard a little bit of the show, so we're so big on the soul here, and I'd love if you could just touch a bit on maybe the soul's journey, maybe the myth of it, you know, in a sense, what are we all, you know, besides learning and growing and expressing, but what is that, the soul's journey? You know, we hear a lot about it, the hero's journey, the soul's journey. If you can characterize that a bit.
To me, it gets to the questions of where were we before we were here? Why are we here? Who are we? What are we? And where will we go after we're no longer here? And I think we have an eternal essence that came from this place I called the quiet before creation, that we're part of, we're here now, and we'll go back to it. Now, what lessons we learn in this lifetime and how that affects the whole, I think, is important. I think we're learning things. I think more likely than not, there is reincarnation, and that our soul's journey is to learn and to inform the spirit from which we came as much as we can by our experiences in this lifetime.
Love that. And it's all these goes back to that self-expression, you know, being more and more authentic, more and more, you know, expressive, loving, you know, just kind of more authentic, yes, more the truth.
Yes, yes. And you can do that, I think, you can get to that in a lot of ways, but one way is to take a real good inventory of what is and then strip away the stuff that is inauthentic in your life and then try to be marching to your soul's journey, recognizing that many of us have responsibilities in our lives that we can't completely do in every moment exactly what we want to do.
Mm-hmm. And how, I love that. How do we begin to know what is authentic? I just had a little question come in on that.
I think as we practice it, as we have that as an intent, you kind of feel it at all the levels of your being, and you'll, the times that you kind of know when you weren't authentic, not really true to yourself or true to the situation, as you try to be more true to the situation in the future, you'll experience it differently. And so I'm a big believer, Michelle, in self-referencing. You know, that you know it because you can tell it in your gut that's the way it is.
I like that. So it's really getting to know yourself again, I guess. But it goes back to know thyself, right?
Yes, it does. Yeah. Yeah.
Over the Mystery School of Delphi, know thyself.
Yeah, right.
Your book, I mean, I'm really, it's insightful, fascinating read, but most importantly really gives the tools, the exercises, the processes, I think, to actually know yourself on that inner level, to really transform
through the inner landscape, transforming the outer landscape. Really informative. I think it's
Thank
a great, you know, not just a start, but I think, you know, just to have on hand. Because I find every new passage, level, next step, you kind of, if you have the tools, you just use those tools again and again and again. You know, it's just kind of like a little, you know, magical, I don't know, box in a way, you know.
Yes, yes. And to have an attitude of honoring life. I talk about ceremony and ritual. I talk about being in nature. I mean, a great healer is just to spend time in nature and just let it observe us as we observe it, with water and trees and mountains and wind and the sun.
So true. Well, Carl, we're out of time for today. Love to have you back. And, of course, anything that you have, events, anything that you'd like to share, you can always come to Awakenings or post it on our pages. Really admire and appreciate the work that you're doing. So thank you so much for being on Awakenings.
Well, thank you. I've enjoyed our conversation, Michelle. Thank you very much.
And, of course, that was Carl Greer. We were discussing his recent book, Change Your Story, Change Your Life, Using Shamanic and Jungian Tools to Achieve Personal Transformation. Ah, such a wonderful toolbook and guidebook. Thank you all for being here as usual. My gosh, you guys are amazing. Such a great program, great participation. Appreciate you all so much. And those that are listening via the archives and iTunes and TuneIn Radio, hello to you again and appreciate you as well. Those of you that have been leaving your wonderful appreciation comments on iTunes, big etheric hug to you and thank you so much. And thank all of you for making Awakenings what it is, one of the top-rated spirituality programs. And that's all because of all of you, the wonderful community. And here's a thought for the week. I fuel my dreams with faith. So till next time, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and, of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, the number 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.